All right, let's try this again.
Okay, I'm going to count us in. Three. Good evening and welcome to another episode of The Fighter, The Writer, The Fans. My normal co-host, Mr. Ace Hill, is not available tonight. He's out doing army stuff. So I have a guest host. He's a MMA fighter, a dad, a badass. His name is Davionte Jones.
Good evening, everybody. How's it going?
How are you doing today?
Well, fresh off a two-hour power nap, so I'm a whole lot better than I was this morning.
Listen, let me tell you, after this, I'm going to down some wine and probably have myself a good little cry, and then I'm going to go to sleep.
I'll officially start a vacation today, so I'm looking forward to not going back to work for a while.
Yeah, and of all times, did you purposely take vacation for the fight this weekend, or did it just work out that way?
Initially, it started off as what was supposed to be a cruise, and then just turned it off to just taking time off. So gotcha. Everything just kind of fell in place on two big fights going on this weekend.
Absolutely. So I also want to mention that you are also one of our sponsored fighters. And we just haven't had the opportunity to pull our schedules to come together to get you on. So before we dive into UFC 268, I'm going to give you a chance to just like kind of give us a brief breakdown of your gym, you know, where you, how, you know, what weight you fight at, any information so people can get to know you a bit.
I've been fighting since 2011, 2012. Did 11 amateur fights, won a amateur middleweight title and light heavyweight title. Ended up going pro in 2017. Since then, I've been doing this now, I want to say close to.
Uh-oh, we lost you. You there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, go ahead. Just finish that sentence one more time. I'm sorry.
So I've fought at a middleweight, light heavyweight, and middleweight, light heavyweight, and heavyweight, and I have wins in all three categories.
Which division do you feel more comfortable?
Middleweight. I was honestly probably 26 when I last cut the middleweight. when I fought a middleweight, I honestly probably could have made 170 then. If we would have kept doing what we were doing. But probably 205. 205 has always been my walk around weight, but since then I've gotten older, a little chunky.
Listen, it happens to the best of us. yeah. I definitely wouldn't be, if I were a fighter, I definitely would not be fighting at the same weight I was 10, 15 years ago. Definitely different weight division.
Yeah. In high school, I walked around at 170. So just as I got older, it just kind of all came into play.
Yeah. Just that tall and lanky though, right? Because you're a tall guy.
Yeah. Eighth grade, I was already 6 feet. By the time I was a sophomore, I was already 6'4". And then I pretty much just stayed the same height.
Yeah, see, I'm the opposite. I was 5'4 in eighth grade, and I just never got past reaching that first shelf level. That's just where I'm at.
Yeah, no, most of my family is full of sprouts, unfortunately. So if you ever needed anything off the top shelf,
right?
I'm like, hey, can you
just come down here real quick? None of us can reach it. We're all shorties in this family. My daughter is in eighth grade right now. She's the same height as me. And my youngest is probably going to be about 5'2 or so by the look of things. So we didn't really get past that. So let's see. You there?
Every time that my phone closes the screen, it kills my voice.
Go ahead. And I do it on like speakerphone.
Yeah. That actually might be my best bet because...
Yeah, I just hold it right in front of me.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, that's my best bet.
Anyone that listens to us knows that we are always about technical problems. So,
I think that we'll just kind of jump into one of the most epic cards in, I think, UFC history, at least in the last few years.
Yeah, hands down.
So, the card is stacked from top to bottom, but I'm not going to go through the prelims or the early prelims because that would just take us all night to go through all of that.
Well,
I am going to say that. Oh, go ahead.
There's two early prelim fights that I am really interested in. You got Chris Curtis.
Yes. I lost you again, sir.
I hate my phone.
Listen, we know the struggle here. But you were saying that Chris Curtis finally is in the UFC, which is long overdue.
Hands down, I thought after he won the Contender Series that they would have, you know, picked him up. They didn't. I think after that, he went to the PFL, lost three in a row, and then rattled off a five-fight win streak, which finally got him the call.
Yeah.
That fight didn't pan out. And so now I think he's taking this fight at middleweight, which, granted, he actually has a pretty damn decent record at middleweight.
Yeah, and he looked great at weigh-ins.
Yeah, he did. And then I have a buddy that I used to train with back when I lived in Texas a couple years ago. He killed it on the Contender Series, got picked up after he knocked out his opponent in the first round.
We lost CJ.
And I think he missed weight by a pound and a quarter. Not really sure. But
and who was that?
CJ Vergara.
Oh, okay.
But trains out of Pete's Brat Muay Thai.
So that's one to watch for sure.
And actually, that fight opens the show.
Excellent. That's on my early or prelim list is the Iaquinta versus Green also.
Okay, I felt bad that I didn't know Al was fighting this weekend.
he flies under the radar a lot of times, which is kind of surprising because he got real hyped up and then he kind of died off a bit.
He went back to selling houses and then just disappeared for a while.
Right, listen, sometimes the real estate market, especially right now, is a lot safer to deal with than the Octagon, I get it.
Yeah, and he's fighting Bobby Green, which, understandably so, including myself, I can't stand right now, so.
Well.
I hope Bobby Green gets smacked.
All right. I feel like there's a story. But we can just dive right into the main card if you want to do that.
Of course. The opening fight in Gaethje versus Chandler is both fight that both guys have already acknowledged. Either Dana White should be a number one contender fight. They both fight. I don't want to say fight the same way because Gaethje has destructive leg kicks.
Yes.
And ever since he lost to Poirier, developing the new style that's more patient, calculated, and more violent, I think if he stays terrifying the same way, that he should be fine. Chandler kind of showed that he still has something to learn after the whole Oliveira loss.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that first round in that fight, he played everything perfectly. And then that second round, he just showed, okay, I can't really.
It felt like stuck in like a second gear, kind of.
Yeah. And instead of really sticking to his game plan, he kind of let himself get caught. And then after that, that was it.
Yeah. I think that Michael Chandler, although he is very deserving to be in the UFC, I think that the level of competition that he's faced since coming in has kind of showed everyone why people hold off on making it to the UFC and why the UFC does things a certain way, whether we like it or not.
I think really there's only been a couple guys from Bellator that have come over. There was Will Harris, which I think at one time he was a lightweight champ, and then he got dropped after, I think, losing 3 or 4 straight UFC fights.
Yeah.
Take the Lombard. We already saw how
this is a banger, though. I mean, they both said, "Oh, I'm not taking a step. Whoever shoots first is a bitch." And while I appreciate all of that, I also love good grappling and good wrestling, good takedown defense. Happening. What?
I don't think that's happening.
I don't think so either. But there's also something. I mean, as being part of a couple different regional scenes, you know what that's like when you go in and you watch two guys that step in and just bang it out for like a minute and a half, the fight's over, and you're like, what the fuck? I wanted to see more than that. I feel like it happens a lot in the regional scene. I don't want to see that kind of fight. I want to see something that's a little bit more patient and technical, but as you said, I don't think we're going to see that here. So I'm going to go with Gaethje on. Who are you going with on this one?
Yeah, no, I have Justin, and I have just by KO in probably the most violent of ways.
Ooh.
I really think this is just going to be a fight that really showcases what both guys can do stand-up wise. I think also hands wise, the only person to really give Justin true power and accuracy was Poirier. Mm. And Eddie Alvarez can say whatever the hell he wants on the sidelines, but he also has to remember he's the guy that got dicked around in Madison Square Garden by Connor, and he didn't say shit. So, I mean, his opinion with being a legend is great, but also at the same time, you have to remember, you kind of got that title fight on the technicality, and even though you won, and that put you in the category as a UFC champ, which most guys from Bellator cannot say,
right?
You know, I still think his opinion is kind of invalid.
Yeah, I hear you on that one.
But so, I got Poirier by second round murder.
So they moved the Gaethje and Chandler fight up because obviously Coach Whitman has multiple fighters on this, so they had to stretch it out. So that's the only reason that banger is opening the card. And then we got Shane Burgos and Billy, which I call Q because his last name is hard for me to say. Billy's tough, but I got Burgos on this one.
Burgos' last fight was against Edson Barboza, correct?
I believe so.
Okay, so everything I saw in that fight was absolutely beautiful. The fact that he could take damage, stick to his game plan, we know what he's capable of. We also know that he could stand with top tier guys like Edson Barboza and pretty much keep up with them. However, learn just from watching that fight, we also know there's levels to it. So hopefully he took that.
Ooh, we lost you for a second.
How about now?
Yep, you're good. Keep going, sir.
Okay. So like hopefully he learned and they developed kind of some growth from that fight and implement it into this fight. I think Quarantillo, I've seen a couple of his fights and I like his style, but in saying that, Shane's a banger.
Yeah.
His ground game is not slouchy either, so I have my money on him.
That's how I feel about it too. I'm looking for Billy to do a lot of good things. I just feel like in this one, I can't, you know, lots of times when I'm thinking about it, I got like a heart and I got a mind. Which one do I want to pick? Both of them are going with Burgos on this one, so I just got to go with them.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but Shane all day.
So then next got, you know, future Hall of Famer Frankie Edgar and Marlon Vera.
Is it bad I can't stand Marlon?
No, it's not bad because I can't really stand her. And I'm probably
one of the only people. I've loved Frankie since I watched Frankie beat BJ Penn. And
listen, I respect it. I respect the man. We had one of his striking coaches and training partners on last week. And I'm always super respectful, but in the back of my head, I still have that troll that I'm just like, yeah, but I totally love Frankie Edgar. I think that he's been amazing for the sport, and he is a definite, all the respect. I just think that maybe it might be time to sit down.
I don't think so just yet, even though the Sanhagen fight was probably the first time he's ever been knocked out that rough, or actually knocked out that cold.
I just have time as guys get older. It's the total mama gene. I can't shut it.
Well, that's like
sure that everyone's okay.
Benson Henderson on the... Actually, you know what? Benson, when he fought Chandler, I think that's the second time Henderson has been knocked out, besides getting knocked out by Rafael Dos Anjos.
Possibly. I'm going to trust your memory on that one.
And you know what? He's been pretty much a guy that's been durable. Frankie, we've seen him take some hard shots, you know, with the trilogy he had with Gray Maynard. And then hell, he's fought everyone that's a who's who.
He's a dog.
A lightweight, and then, you know, cutting the weight class to 145 and then dropping down. And so
we lost you for a second. Just repeat that last part.
I said he's fought a who's who, you know, from everybody at lightweight, and then dropping down to 145, and now 35. I don't think Marlon brings anything special, especially after the Aldo fight. I absolutely don't think he brings anything special at all. I think if Frankie does what he does best, which is volume and implementing all of that wrestling, Marlon's going to have a long night.
So I just, that aside, I need to know why you don't like Marlon.
His personality is trash.
Oh, okay.
Now,
no, I get it.
I understand as a fighter and as a person, you have to market yourself, put yourself out there. You know, it gets people to look at you as a certain way, as a personality. And, you know, it puts more eyes on you. However, as you continue to develop a persona and build yourself, you also have to kind of like Colby. Like, how genuine is it?
Right.
And I don't feel he's one of those guys. Like, after the... God damn it. What's his name? The rainbow-haired kid.
O'Malley.
Yeah, after that fight, he kind of got a little cocky.
Mm.
And understandably so, he did everything in that fight correctly. Like, Sean, we already knew what he was going to do. Also knew nobody really tested his legs. And he's prone to injuries.
Right.
So, just to get that from ruining his ankle... I would be like, oh, hey, look at that. But at the same time, it's nothing really for me to celebrate about.
That's valid.
And then
I can say that he's not really one that I've followed super closely because I've been like invested in him. He's just someone that's always kind of like on the outskirts and I'm trying to like keep track of what he's doing. So I can definitely say that I haven't like connected with him as a fighter or his story or anything like that, so I can completely understand where you're coming from.
You know what, everybody says the same thing lately, so it's all I watched the Contender series this Tuesday, and you know, the first three guys every episode has been the same sentence. You know, I've come from the mud, I've had absolutely nothing, blah blah blah.
And
it's the same damn mantra. Don't get me wrong. Everybody's been through their shit. And it carries and builds character. You're all saying the same shit, and you see a Dana White interview 2 days later that says, marketing yourself is key to getting your ass in the UFC. You can't say the same damn sentence that the same man said 2 days ago.
Right. 100%. Yeah.
But
and I'm gonna take a real short trip off of that. Shout out to Solomon Renfro. We know you won that fucking fight. And I know your dad is a solid man that's been through some bullshit. And shout out to your family. You deserve a fight in the UFC. Hopefully it's coming for you the same way that it's coming. It's now coming into fruition for Chris Curtis. So let's just put that out there.
Yeah, no, that was highway robbery.
Thank you. Okay. So in that one, are you going Frankie on that one, I'm guessing?
Wait, which fight are we talking about now?
Frankie Edgar and Marlon Vera.
I am. I think Frankie's okay. Gonna, if Frankie does what I think he can do best, which is really the volume striking, the head movement, and the wrestling, I don't think anybody's truly tested Marlon's grappling.
Valid.
And, you know, Marlon is lanky, but Frankie's already fought, you know, a handful of guys that have the length. And he's well more than adapted on knowing how to get through that.
All right, I'm gonna go with your least favorite person. I'm gonna go on that one, but yeah. we can beef it out on social media later, and it'll be all right.
This we can.
Okay, so then we got Thug Rose versus Zhang Weili in the rematch that I think is a little underappreciated. I feel like there's so much talk about Kobe, and all this shit. I think that Rose and Weili are getting completely overlooked in this. It's a fire-ass fight.
I don't want to say it's overlooked because, you know, it's gotten some traction and coverage as far as the, you know, the media. But not as much, granted, because the main event is the rematch that absolutely nobody wanted.
Thank you.
So, in saying that, I don't think Weili needed to do a rematch straight out the gate. I think she should have had to, you know, maybe kind of bounce back, get one fight, show why she's number one, and kind of go from there. But also in saying that, it's intriguing, though, because of the women she's beat. So Dana saying, all right, I'm going to give you this title shot. It's understandable.
Right.
But getting knocked out the way she did, I don't feel she needed it right now.
No, but I agree with you in that. And I think that there's some weird divide that's happening where some people are like, oh, it's a lucky shot. And I fucking hate the term lucky shot because there's not really a lucky shot. You have the power, you have the training, or you know their reads, you know their feints, you know their tells. The lucky shot I am so sick of as like a cop-out to why people win. I don't like that.
Yeah.
So said that to say that
yes, we didn't get to see an extensive
fight, but that's what happens when someone just comes in and owns your ass. Like, that just happens. So, I agree. She didn't need to come right in and get this rematch, but here we are. And I love Rose. I love how honest she is with her personality. She's never tried to be anything that she doesn't want to fucking be. She is 100% what you see is what you get. Fought her way up to this through the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I am going with Rose on this one, not just from what she can do in the cage, but because I fucking love her and I stan her 100%. So I got to go with her.
Same. Only also because, you know, we've seen Weili's ground game. We've seen her stand up. We've seen her bang with absolutely the best and strongest women in the division. Yeah. However, I think Rose brings up a intriguing matchup where, like, for instance, the Jessica Andrade fight 2, even though that one was a 3-rounder, you saw the improvements in those first 2 rounds compared to the first fight, where even in the first fight, which she was dominating that whole first round, and then got slammed on.
Right.
It shows that she's steps above a lot of the other women in that division.
Leveling up.
She stays leveling up.
Yeah. I don't think it. Honestly, I think with Trevor Whitman in a corner and the way that that man works and dissects things, if it goes the way I think it goes, I don't see her losing the belt for quite some time.
I hope not. I mean, she's faced some tough competition. I mean, look at JJ. We thought that JJ was going to hold the belt in that division forever. And then she came in and she was like, what the fuck are you talking about? She impressed me beyond anything that I thought. Like, I was literally in awe. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. I was pacing during certain nights. Like, yeah, she's an exciting knockout fighter.
That's a JJ knockout's thing of beauty.
Oh my God.
Hands down, still one of my favorite female knockouts. And even in the rematch that they did not too long after, and she put on a 5-round clinic, and I go, like, how can you deny her as, and people still deny her. You see the forums and the comments and a lot of people saying that she doesn't deserve the credit she's getting, and they don't understand the people that she's mopped to get where she is. And she's done it subtly. No trash talk.
Oh, yeah.
None of that.
No, she just is like, hey, I'm Rose. I'm here. And then she goes in her speed. She has a high fight IQ. She's a danger on the feet and on the ground. She's so well-rounded for that division. And like I said, and like you said, the competition she's faced and to be where she is. And then I just don't see that she's going to lose the belt. Rose, 100%. There's nothing pulling me the other way. Lots of times it's hard to make picks because you're like, well, what about this? I got to go with Rose on this one.
Yeah, no, I think it's a unanimous Rose.
All right, so we're going to just go to the main. And now we got Kamaru Usman with what the fuck's name? Colby. Shit. Yeah, fuck that fucking guy. Okay, listen. So I'm supposed to be a little bit nice because I'm with my co-host, Ace Hill, and I heard from everyone in that gym that he's a nice guy. He's a cool dude. He treats people with respect in the gym. And I get that. But also, fuck that. I'm sorry. If you're in the gym and you're treating people with respect and then you turn something out outside, I'm not here for the fake bullshit. I don't like it. Be 100% who you are, good or bad. Like, if John Jones just leaned into that he's an asshole, like, I think that he would have more fans.
Oh, hands down.
He's lost.
Hands down.
So just lean into it. I don't see going any other way other than with a TKO or a KO. I would hope it's quick, but Colby, he does have talent. He is a volume striker. He has amazing cardio, but they I don't see it going any other way. Yes.
They both do, but I also feel like, so one fight, prime example, Usman, Masvidal won. Mm-hmm. Short notice for Usman, even though he still took it. Also short notice from Masvidal with the 26-pound weight cut that whole week. And still turned out a decision. Fight wasn't bad. It wasn't the best either. You then go and fight Gilbert Burns, who had went through pretty much everyone to get there. You knock out Gilbert Burns after getting rocked in the first. And then you have the rematch with Masvidal. Masvidal has a full camp. All the hype said he's going to perform and do better. And then you clean his clock.
Rock his shit.
After completely changing seemingly a flawless game plan in the first round. You bait him the whole time. Second round, clean. I feel the first round will probably be a filling out process.
Right.
And honestly, if it starts out like the first fight, Trevor's pretty damn good with covering everything, from holes, call signs, combos, everything like that. And that's why I love Trevor Whitman as a coach. I feel it's probably going to be an early night. And mainly so because Covington continues to talk, and I feel Karmus is going to bite him in the ass, along with Usman seemingly showing newfound power to doing something people haven't seen before, which is knock out Masvidal. And Masvidal, I think at that point, had 40 pro fights already.
Oh, yeah. Or
close to 40 pro fights and had not been knocked out.
Yeah. And leveled.
To do something that hasn't been done, I'm looking at you differently from a fighter standpoint. Like, okay, now you have my attention. I mean, you had my attention before, but you're doing something.
But you found that 9-8 switch on someone that hadn't had that switch flip before. Yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah, and you know, for Kobe to deny the whole broken jaw thing, I get it. You have to have a certain level of swagger about yourself and confidence to where you need to tell yourself, like, yo, I'm capable of beating this man. That's great. I had to fight 2-2 going into fifth. And then you got your shit cleaned with a minute and a half left. Less than a minute and a half left.
Yeah.
And then the moment that you saw the punches are truly starting to hurt, you backed off. And then even though you tried to dispute the finish, you did nothing to protect yourself. You sat there and you took the shots. So I don't really see Colby doing anything differently. Even though you go to a new gym, it doesn't change the fact that you're still a shitter.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Both different gyms. But the difference between the two, I feel, is I think that Usman has a higher fighter IQ. And I think that obviously his skill level is at a different level than Kobe's. And so I think when it comes to changing gyms for Usman, it's going to be that big of a shakeup where it's like, oh, what are we going to see? He's just fine tuning what he already has as base. He's just diving into, you know, critiquing little things here and there. Whereas someone else got basically chased out of a gym. It's two drastically different things. So I'm going, obviously, with Usman on this one. I you're going on with him on that. Who did you go with on that bullshit suit? That who won the suit off at the
leopard
press
print all day?
listen. I'm not going to say that I would want my man wearing either suit. But if I had to pick one, I would definitely have to go leopard because I already know that my ass is going to be in leopard. So it'd be like a matchy thing.
My man walked out never looking like a leopard print cheetah ready to take somebody's mom out on a hot date.
Listen, I'm just saying, and I know I already said this to you, but if you put a wig on him, he is someone's bougie aunt that showed up. And she's like, listen, I'm only here for 5 minutes because I'm on my way somewhere better, but tell the grandbabies I love them. And
yeah, no. Kobe looked like a dirty piece of cotton candy.
Yeah, he showed up looking like a energy drink, fucked a unicorn, and it was their Four Loko fucked up child. That's what it looks like. It's just a mess. And it kind of goes with his personality and all his fans' personality. I'm just going to be real honest right now.
And you know, I saw the weigh-ins, the pre-fight conference, and, you know, some people support it, but,
Listen, I'm not... I took a lot of heat on Twitter yesterday because of some of my opinions. I'm not really here for the your daddy's in jail bullshit because
well, he's not in jail now, but he was before. So, which at the end of the day is really irrelevant.
And you know what? Oh, play more into the privileged white boy, Colby. Like, what else can you fucking do? Like, you already have that fan base of the white boys that haven't ever been through shit. I'm just throwing it all out there. But play more into that, because now you're attacking someone because their dad did some shit that the child had nothing to do with. Shut the fuck up. We don't need that. If there's any time we've called Connor out for saying this and that and the other, I don't understand why more people don't call his ass out for saying some of the shit he says. If you really are a solid striker, you really are a solid grappler, you have all the talent in the world, you have all this mojo with his paid or non-paid ladies on the side, let that speak for yourself. You don't have to do all that extra with yo daddy stuff. It's enough.
Colby has an awkward striking style, which I think really helped in the first fight, but I think I've mentioned this before, that he's only fought once, which is a fight he had with Woodley, whereas, you know, Kamaru's fought three times, and two out of those three fights were finishes, which just kind of lets you know right there. You're going to say, oh, well, I joined another gym. Well, that layoff really doesn't mean shit if you haven't been doing anything. And in each of those fights that Kamaru has fought in, you've seen nothing but growth.
Right.
Growth, you see why he's a champ. Also, like, the... Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, this man rocked Gilbert Burns multiple times with his jab hand. Mm-hmm. You haven't seen people getting rocked with the jab hand since GSP.
No, that's valid.
And so I'm just kind of like, I don't feel you're going to bring anything to the table.
Gross how under Kamaru is, honestly.
Oh, hands down. And the fact that he's the number one pound for pound.
You cut out. Wait. You sound in a fish tank. You good, my dude? Hello? Hello, sir. I am filling up my water. Still there.
Yeah, I'm still here. Apparently, it connected me to my car.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it sounded like you were in a fish tank, but I was filling up my wine glass. So I was like, okay, we're just going to give him a minute.
Yeah, no, it accidentally connected me to my car. So.
Yeah, this Bluetooth shit is too much.
Yeah. But no, I don't really feel this fight's going to go anywhere. In particular, where Kamaru should be worried. We already know he has a chin. His recovery ability is amazing. And, you know, and Trevor Whitman as a coach is just spot on.
So let me just ask this. Are we going to see any wrestling this time around? Because last time we didn't.
You know what? I think there might be maybe a couple wrestling exchanges. Only because
who do
I
you
truly
think
feel
that's
that Colby
gonna...
will win.
Okay, I was going to say, who do you think that's going to put that into action?
I think Colby had to bait him in. Mm-hmm. And if he does, might go in for a single, but he's not going to be, I don't think he's going to do what he did with Robbie Lawler or those guys, or, you know, take him down and try to force a me dominating you on top. We know Kamaru has the best damn wrestling in that division.
I'm still and not ready to talk about the Kobe fucking, What did you just say? Oh my god, who did you just say?
Lawler.
Still can't talk about that. I'm still so upset about that. I feel like it was a betrayal after supporting someone for so many years. I was like, sir, no, how do you let me down? That fight left
a bitter taste in my mouth.
Whew.
But, but, I think we might see a early finish. I think if, you know, that first round would be the filling out process, and I think Usman finishes him in three.
In three rounds. Okay. Yeah, I have him by TKO or KO, and I was going to say four just because I think that he already knows what he has to offer. He's already felt the power in any of his shots. He already knows what's going to happen. Made adjustments, game plan. I can get on board with that.
Yeah. I'm going to enjoy this knockout. I am. It's been a long time coming and he deserves it. So it's okay.
Yeah. I'm going to have a lot of fun on Twitter because I have a lot of really angry men that just don't like me on Twitter. And I cannot to gloat. So I really need this. If anything, I really need this one.
I think we all do.
Yeah. This is a card we don't deserve, really, because I don't know what we've done as MMA fans to really deserve this, because we interfight and we pick each other apart all the time. Well, some of us do. Some of us take the high road. Some of us actually, you know, don't play that game. But as a whole, we are dirty, grimy bastards, and we don't really deserve a card that.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I think this card and the end of the year card with Poirier and Oliveira is an underrated card too. So I think
go ahead.
I was just gonna say the matchmaking that they're trying to do, you know, to end the year with these fights, spot on. I think they're finally kind of not listening, but they're giving everybody what they want,
mm-hmm.
which is intriguing in banger matchups.
I agree. I was just going to ask you, Colby's been going after Poirier in a weird twist of, I don't know why, but he's been going after him. Do you see Dustin going up to 170? A fight between those two? Do you see Kobe going down?
I don't see Kobe ever trying to drop the 155. I think if he did, he would get smacked. We already know his jaw is questionable. So in saying that, I think if Dustin ever, and it really, I don't think it would be a fight that would appease Dustin, especially if, you know, Kobe goes out tomorrow night and gets his ass whooped, which I see happening. It would be a waste of time, especially if you're going to go out, you're going to fight Oliveira. I have Dustin winning that fight 10 times out of 10.
Yeah.
Just because of who he's fought, and Oliveira is not Khabib.
Yeah.
Oliveira got his ass whooped by Michael Chandler, which I scored as a 10-8 round. So.
Yeah.
And I know Poirier hits a lot harder than Chandler. I have Poirier finishing that fight in two or three. So, I think if Colby loses this fight, he doesn't get a title shot for a while, and he's pretty much a gatekeeper. And eventually after that, like, you're going to have to beat damn near everybody. Maybe a Vicente Luque, Hamzat. You're going to have to put on a dominating performance with a bunch of guys.
Are we going to see a Covington versus, Masvidal fight, do you think?
We finally got the Leon Edwards Masvidal fight, so I think that's a strong possibility.
Are we still interested in the Masvidal and Edwards fight, though? Like, does it feel like a little...
I'm emotionally invested, so I'm just saying...
You're like, that's when, three piece in a soda, though. Like, we still got to.
I never forgot it. I never forgot it.
No. Neither have I. And I just feel like, see, just really the way they play things out, it's like, I have ADD with fights sometimes. I'm like, I'm over it now. I shouldn't be like that. 100%. I should be more look at the big picture, and it's still interesting.
They are a promotional giant when they need to be, and they kind of like subtly release stuff to kind of get you in, and then the fight disappears off the radar for a minute, and the moment the card comes up is when they start smacking out these videos, which sucks you back in.
Yeah, and that's valid.
And that's the one thing I love. Like, nobody's been talking about it, granted, because this card this weekend is probably the biggest card they've put on all year.
Oh, yeah.
Besides Conor Poirier, too.
Yeah, even then, I wasn't that excited.
Yeah, I mean, we were intrigued about Conor coming back, but even then, it wasn't... It didn't have the same feel like, all right, you're fighting in Vegas, and there's all these people.
Yeah.
This is Madison Square Garden, where you know magic happens regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to just be a banger of a fight. And I have a feeling that Kobe's just going to be taken out on a stretcher, and I'm okay with that. So...
Dogged his way out the last time, so we'll see if he's able to have those motor skills this time.
Yeah, but he also took off his gloves and ran away like a little bitch, too. So we're just going.
You know, I still love that video. I watch it every now and then when I feel like shit's just not going my way. And I'm like, I'm still not this motherfucker jogging out of the cage right now. So, you know, I'm still winning. I'm still winning.
Oh, he had the bitter bitch face. He did.
Oh, he was mad, mad. And he still tries to deny. My jaw wasn't broken. I was like, bitch, we all heard you in the corner. Yeah, I think my jaw's broken.
He lost the fight, and then you just saw as they announced it, and he goes, all right, and still, and, you know.
And gone.
No interview for you. I'm out.
He had that. Oh my God, I can't think of the character's name, but from Friday, where he got his chain stolen, and he was like slow jogging to his car. He had that same energy.
That's Kobe. Hands down.
Yeah.
Right. Hands down.
I feel like we have covered that all. We're going to dive back into this another time when we can get you on.
Most definitely.
I appreciate... Go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I appreciate you coming on because I'm really in the field right now doing army shit, and there's nothing I can do to stop the government from sending my co-host into the field to learn army shit. So until that day happens, we're going to be continuing to have guest hosts, and it's been so fun having you on. I've been trying to get you on for a minute, but all of our schedules don't meet up. So I just appreciate you so much for coming on tonight.
Anytime, and anytime you're back for co-hosting, I'm always down to help. It was a pleasure being on.
I'm going to give you this chance to shout out your sponsors, your gym, your coaches, your social media, so everyone can get to know you and follow you.
I game a little bit from time to time, so if anybody ever wants to hear some really ignorant gameplay and just watch me play shitty, I have my Twitch, Kool-Aid Senpai. I have my fighter page on Facebook, Daviante King Kong Jones. I can't remember my damn IG handle for the life of me. I think King Kong DJ MMA. Which even then, I don't use my IG that much unless it's the post-troll shit. So, the sponsors I had. Well, you for sponsoring the last fight, you guys. Who else? I have a sponsor shirt somewhere. I just have to find it.
That's totally fine. This is the one part that throws everybody off because it's hard to remember everybody.
My gym, Mixed Bloods MMA, Sicarius MMA, one of my sponsors in Phoenix. Michael Carter Prince, this guy has done my shirts for the better part of 10 years and has improved every damn shirt every time. And LaFoon's Boxing Club as one of the striking coaches that helped me get prepared for this. for the fight. So,
excellent. Shout out to your babies.
Well, Aaliyah and Elizabeth, they just turned 10 on the 2nd. My son, Josiah Quinn, turns 11 on the 19th. And I just turned 34 on the 1st. So,
happy birthday to all of them. And you.
Thank you. And now as we all get older, I realize my knees hurt. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm there. I wake up in the morning and I'm not sure what's going to hurt, but it's a roll of the dice.
Yeah, and then you realize you need either Bengay or.
Yeah, or, you know, all of them. Little wine, a night off from your kids telling you that you really ain't shit, you know, something.
Pretty much.
All right, Deviante, I appreciate you, and we will talk soon. Thank you for.
Most definitely. Thank you for having me.
All right, everybody. I hope you guys enjoyed that breakdown, and we will get back to you after the fight, and we will go over some of the things that have happened. We have some awesome shows coming up, and we hope you enjoyed this. Have a good night.